Good morning, and welcome to Women Lead Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Diane Callahan, your host for The Lighthearted Life. Our topic today is love, which is so appropriate since yesterday was the National Day of Love, Valentine's Day. And today our leading man is Larry Indaviglia with Insights for Life Incorporated. Larry, I'm so glad you're on the show. Good morning.
Diane, I am so excited to be here, and I am humbled and honored to be here the day after Valentine's Day. And I'm really looking forward to providing some great value for your many valued listeners. So thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much for being on the show. You know, when we first met, met in the land of ether, and I read your book, I thought you have to be the Valentine's show. And as far as I'm concerned, Valentine's Day kind of, you know, it oozes out over the other days around it. Let's just say that. And, you know, The Lighthearted Life, our show is all about talking to people about how they choose to live in joy and purpose, you know, in the best of times and in the stormiest of times. And, man, you've got a story that you can share about that. I fell in love with your love story when I read it. Audience members, listeners, Larry is the author of an amazing, beautiful, true tale called 126 Days in 11 Minutes. How did you start writing that book? Tell us a little bit about that story.
The story is a true one, Diane, and thanks for asking. And many of your audience, and certainly I think your message appeals to very many who are women. The book was inspired by a very strong and soft and very inspiring woman named Gail, okay, who is my late girlfriend. And the backstory of the book, or the quick summary, is two actively aging seniors in January of 2020, starting off a new decade, go online, actively aging seniors in their 60s, I might add, yes, in their 60s, go online on a dating site and meet each other, connect with each other, and are captivated each other very quickly. And perhaps against all odds, because one of them, Gail, is battling stage 4 breast cancer and has been for 4+ years. However, when Gail and Larry meet, they are really attracted to each other emotionally and physically, mentally, and I will say spiritually from the outset, and decide to live in the today, not in the past or the yesterdays, and certainly not looking too far out into the tomorrows, and have a really honest, passionate, compassionate, respectful, romantic connection and loving relationship. And over the 126 days, I think Gail and Larry learn that it is possible and worthwhile to love with loss rather than never to have loved at all. And I would like to emphasize to all your listeners and to you, Diane, that the power of choice of one woman, in this case Gail, making a choice to embrace life and love, which turned out to be the last stage of her life, extremely powerful thing that she did. And that's why we're talking today, here the day after Valentine's Day, about it.
You know, part of the reason that your beautifully written book resonated so much with me is because, and now I don't want to get all choked up, but that could have been my own personal story. And I was so blessed that our love story has lasted far more than 126 days. But when I was in my 40s, and I actually was on a dating site and met somebody wonderful. And 3 months after our first date, not even 3 months, not quite, I was in the hospital finding out that I had aggressive stage 4 blood cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And Larry, you're going to love this because you're this kind of guy. But the guy, the man that I had been dating, his name is Chuck, I was in the hospital for 2 weeks while we did all kinds of biopsies and bone marrow biopsies and spinal taps and everything. Mm-hmm. And so he came to visit me every night on his way home from work for, you know, a little while. And the day that we found out exactly what kind and what stage cancer I had, they started me on chemo right away. And when Chuck got there, I said, okay, so here's the deal. This cancer, stage 4, it's really bad. And so you are off the hook, because he had told me when we started dating that he was looking for someone to have fun with in life and also to help him finish raising his 2 children. And I was pretty excited about that opportunity. And so I said to Chuck that night, though, I said, you know what? You should run away. You are off the hook. You know, nobody will hold it against you, because you need to find someone who is going to be able to really be there, be able to make promises about the future, and who will have hair. And so Chuck looked at me and he said, when God gives you a gift, you don't give it back. And before I could even process how amazing that was, he then said, I already know I want to spend the rest of my life with you, no matter how long it is. And so he said, I wasn't prepared to do this at the Kaiser Resort and Spa, which is what we were calling it. But he asked me to marry him that night.
Oh, boy.
I know, right?
Wow, Diane. Look, that's, you know, my story's true, your story's true. You could say art imitates life. Just because it's a book, it doesn't mean it's art. But, you know, life becomes art in a sense when we do share it. And and thanks for sharing that. That's something that, you know, what it comes down to when I listen to that, I believe this, the heart has no questions if you follow it. The mind has no answers. And sometimes our mind could attempt to supersede our heart's feelings. And I'm not so sure that's a good thing. And in Chuck's case, he didn't do that. He let his heart lead. And that's just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful share. And it just goes to show you, when connections are made, and I agree with them, you know, as far as higher power in the universe and God bringing us together, connections are never random. They're for a reason. Some last a long time, like yours. Mine didn't last as long, but it's always for a reason, not random.
Yeah. Wow.
I agree completely with that. And, you know, I read your book through tears. I just have to tell you the truth there, because I kept thinking, wow, I mean, the courage that both you and Gail had to claim love and to go for it, no matter, you know, not knowing what the potential outcome was going to be. And you know what? The truth of the matter is, do we ever know? We never know, right?
No, we don't. We don't. I mean, logic says that I was probably going to live longer than Gail, like even if she lived 5 or 10 more years, okay? However, it doesn't always work out that way. You know, we don't know. And I agree with you. And I think when you have hope, Gail had a strong sense of hope. When we met, it wasn't fait accompli that she was going to die 4 months later. That's not the way we looked at it. As I said, in the summary, we just lived each day. And each day that we had, we certainly cherished that. And that's why the book is written, each chapter's a day. You know, there's 126
yeah.
chapters, 126 days, and a theme to each day based on my journaling and my recollections, my voicemails, my text, everything else that I had. And you ask about writing the book. I started writing the book 4 days after Gail transitioned because it was mm-hmm. in my mind. It helped me grieve. It was a catharsis. And I wanted
yeah.
to get it down. And then finally, COVID. COVID had hit, so I had more time to write because my personal and professional life was impacted, all of us, right? So I had more time
right,
to write,
right.
so I took advantage of it. But emotionally, I wanted to get it done, so it took me 7 weeks, and that's the approach that I took doing it each day, yeah.
That is fabulous. I think that one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about is this process that you share so lovingly of each of you, you and Gail, finding a sense of peace during that dying process. And and I would love for you to share how you got there or where that came from. Or I think that we're all scared of that process, and I think you can share a lot about how you can find that peace.
I will. There was two things about our love story. Is it was kind of very spooky in a sense. And the 126 days, 63 exactly 9 weeks or half of the time I knew Gail, she was relatively healthy, if you will. She was able to do things. We were able to go out, and all that shared in the book. And then when the cancer mm-hmm. came back, metastasized to her brain, there was 63 days. Of in the hospital, and then finally in an inpatient hospice. So that part of our relationship, you know, went deeper. And there was joy, there was romance. There was always romance during the first 9 weeks. And the second 9 weeks, as you said, it was then a time where the realization came in that this was going to be the latter stage of her life before she transitioned. Gail did not have a traditional sense of God, if you will. She believed in a higher power
mm-hmm.
and a higher level of consciousness. So
mm-hmm.
the doctors had given her 2 weeks to live, and, you know, God bless all of them. However, she needed time to emotionally and mentally get through her challenge and to find peace before she transitioned. Physically, she
mm-hmm.
was taken care of exceptionally in hospice. I don't believe she was ever in deep, horrible physical pain. In fact, I know she was not. However,
mm-hmm.
emotionally and mentally, you have to go there to a place. I struggled with it early on, and I was in hospice 44 days. I visited her every day. Unfortunately, I didn't
mm-hmm.
get sick through COVID or anything. So each day, I said to myself, okay, what could I do for her to help her? And then we had an exchange, and it's shared in the book, where she said, Larry, you can't find peace for me. I'm not at peace yet. I have to find that. And then it came from a very interesting source. Day 114, Colonel Hank, who was a friend of mine from the Naval Academy, who had been in a 30-year career, had been in battle, multiple battles throughout the world. He was the
mm-hmm.
guy that said, Lair, find your own peace. Bring that in to the room. And it will help Gail find hers. And I did that through prayer. I did it through meditation. I did it through the support of others who I introduce and share in the book. There was four or five people that really came out. And to have that awareness, and I will back it up one, Diane, with this. When I met Gail, I felt I loved her unconditionally and she loved me unconditionally. No expectations, conditions, or judgments. And she told me, she
mm-hmm.
said, Larry, you cannot unconditionally love somebody unless you unconditionally love yourself first. You cannot help
yes.
a person find peace in the later stage of life unless you find peace first. So that's kind of that parallelism in a sense that first it's love while you're vibrant and living, and then it's peace as life, you know, starts ebbing away and it comes time to transition. So that's the best way I think I can answer that, Diane, and how I approached it and the people that came into my lives to help me.
I love everything that you just said. And one of the most beautiful things about the book is being able to in a teeny tiny way to know Gail. And I'm so glad that you wrote that, because she has so much to teach us about many things, about, you know, having peace, about finding love, about how you live your life. I mean, I learned so much just about, you know, the healthy eating and all of the different ways that she was seeking alternative medicine and alternative health. And I think for that alone, it's so important for people to read this book. Now, before we go further, we're going to take just a really quick moment to recognize one of our sponsors that makes it possible to bring this radio show to you.
Wonderful.
Thanks, Diane. All right. Women Lead Radio is brought to you today by Connected Women of Influence and our partner, National University. National University is proud to be San Diego's largest private nonprofit university, founded in 1971. Their mission is to provide accessible, achievable higher education to adult learners. Today, National University educates students from across the U.S. and around the globe with over 170,000 alumni worldwide. You can enroll online today, and thank you so much for your support, National University, and to all of our sponsors and partners. And now, Diane, back to your show.
Wonderful. Thank you, National University, and welcome to The Lighthearted Life with our guest, Larry Indiviglia. I am so in love with this conversation we're having. I have so many questions. I'm sure we're not going to get into all of them. But one thing I would like to talk to you about is when you go through an illness, the only way to get through it is with the loving support of your caregivers, right? And I have often shared with people that the caregiving job is the hardest job of all. It's way harder than being the patient. And I wanted to touch on that for our audience. How do you think people could be the best caregiver and healthcare advocate for someone they love who is ill and or dying?
Well, I learned listening is number one. Diane, listen to the person. I don't want to say the patient. It makes it so clinical. Okay.
I know,
and sometimes
right?
The patient becomes like the humanness goes away. It's like the patient. It's like some robot who's like, you know, going to eventually go away. So listen to the person, to his or her needs, because each person is different. And I think when you navigate, and this is no disrespect at all to the traditional medical professionals, nurses, doctors, et cetera, oncologists, all of them are doing their absolute best to help people and do so, okay? However, sometimes because of the way the system is designed and the rules and regulations and the insurance and everything else, you could become a number. So it's very important to listen to the person as to what their needs are. Quick example. Gail did not have a place to transition in the last stage of her life. Many people, after you get a diagnosis, we can't do anything for you. You're in a traditional hospital, right? There's no more treatment. There's no more operations. And she had been through it all, radiation, chemo, multiple surgeries, the whole thing, including alternative therapies. And so there's nothing else left. So you can become a number very easily. And they make an assumption, okay, well, when are you leaving to go home? Well, she really didn't have a home to go to.
Right.
The book explains it, so I won't go into detail about it. So she had to find, in her mind, where is it going to be best for me to transition? And frankly, I share in the book, she looked at aid in dying, which is legal. It's legal in California. But there's rules and things about that. She looked at it. She decided not to go that route. Okay? It's all shared in the book, but listening to the person is a key. And then, as Gail always said, stand in your truth to what's important to you. Don't compromise on that. And, you know, she knew where she would be best placed, if possible, to transition. And with some divine intervention, I believe, and also with our steadfastness as her advocate, I knew what she wanted. I stood by her. and I argued her case, in some cases argued, okay, or helped put it forward. And eventually we landed in a place that was very compassionate, where she had dignity and a place to find peace to the end, to her next transition. So listening first, standing by, and if, even if you might not agree with the person, by the way, okay, standing by and helping he or she get that result, or get to that place that she knows or he knows is going to be best for them. Yeah.
I love that. I know that there in the book you shared that there were some discussion about potentially moving. Well, she had moved in with you and come
she
back
had.
To. Yeah. And there was some discussion about her coming back to live out her last few days, or however many she had at the time, at your place. And I felt such compassion in her decision to not want to do that. And because I think that she just didn't want that experience for you. That was what I took
from
it.
She
what are your thoughts?
That was a very a selfless and very unselfish way to look at things. She didn't want me to, you know, maybe her spirit would always be there, but in giving me a better chance of moving forward, she felt. And she did share in the book, Larry, I do want you to love again. Don't mope around without me. It was a very, very powerful decision, because she didn't want to come back and do that. And I know that's I don't know if pain or some of the logistics because of COVID also came into her decision. But the bottom line is what you just mentioned. She didn't want to die at my place. She just didn't, because of the impact it could have on me and my psyche and my emotional state. And I do believe that. Yep. And also her late mother. Yeah. Same thing.
Right, exactly.
Or her elderly mother, not late mother, her elderly mother who's still alive. Mm-hmm.
It's funny because last night I was laying here in bed as I was trying to fall asleep thinking about our interview today and just thinking about your book. And I had a flash in my mind, like, what if I died here? Like, and I can imagine the EMP people coming in, or just, I don't know, I just had this vision of it. And I thought, of course, you know, our situations are slightly different, but I just thought, what a beautiful decision that she made, you know, in her love for you, and just to handle the logistics of all of that process outside of your home. And so I love that. And before we go on, I want to ask you, like, where can people find your book?
Sure. Right now, Diana, thanks for asking. It's available immediately on Amazon.com, Amazon Books, in Kindle or paperback format. I will say I was hoping the Audible audio version would be available on Amazon's Audible channel for Valentine's Day. It didn't turn out that way, so I guess it wasn't supposed to happen. But any day now, the audiobook will be available. So people who pretty much digest their content or like to listen to books on audio, that will be available very, very soon. But immediately you can get it on Amazon Books. Yeah.
Wonderful. Did you narrate your book yourself?
Great question. I did not, for two reasons. One, I had lived the story, then I wrote the story. Mm. And I would have had to narrate it with another woman, and I didn't feel comfortable doing that. And also, I've had experience with the audiobook production process. Voice narrators, talented ones, it's almost like a great editor who edits your book, Diane. The spirit of your writing will always be there, but it'll sound a lot better. And when it comes to audiobooks, the sound of the voice, some of these voice actors are marvelous. They're very, very good. Most of them are actors, or have been, and they get into character and they really deliver really wonderfully. So I had two seniors, actually, because we were in our seniors. I didn't get like a 30-year-old person to do the voice of Gail or Larry. And I had two senior voice actors, and they did a beautiful job, John Harris and Dr. Elizabeth Freed. Yeah, they did a wonderful job.
That's wonderful. I think I'm just going to have to buy the Audible so I can hear it again, like hear it come to life. You know, I'm looking forward to that.
Thank you.
want to ask you another question. The cover, the front and back cover of the book are so beautiful. And I know that there's special meaning to that artwork. Do you want to share that?
Yes. Number one, Gail lives on the cover of her book. And very quick story, I was going to have an artist do the cover of the book, a man named Jim Hahn, very, very talented artist. 3/4 of the way through the book, he called me and he said, Larry, you're talking about one of Gail's Argentine tango photographs that you had in her hospice room. Please send me a digital copy of that. I did. Jim finished the book. A day later, he calls me. He said, Larry, I just saved you $3,000. I said, what do you mean, Jim? He says, the cover of your book is Gail's photo of the Argentine couple dancing. It's not coming from me. He said, that is the whole spirit of her tie to Argentine tango dancing and how art became a metaphor for her life, the embrace, the man leading her respectively, and she responding strongly to his strong lead. It was very interesting. The back cover, so I'm very happy that she's a part of the front cover. The back cover, in my journey of getting the book done, I connected with an artist, a graphic mosaic artist named Deb Barks, based up in Fresno. And she's a, a cancer survivor, head and neck cancer. And Deb did a beautiful glass mosaic, which became a G. Clay, and I share her contact information in the book on how you can get a copy of The Journey. And she did this beautiful, what the cancer journey is about, pain and suffering, but also faith and hope and strength and eventually finding peace with where you're at. And it was dedicated to people in treatment who have survived treatment and for those like Gail who fought as hard as they possibly could for as long as they could until they transition. So I made The Journey a part of those two stories, the Argentine tango story and then Gail's journey with cancer that were part of our love story. Absolutely.
Oh, I'm so glad that you shared the different names of the people that you've worked with. Deb's name, I'm going to look her up right now and look for her other art that she's done. We're getting very close to the end of our show, and it's gone so fast. I had three other questions I want to ask you. I think that what has come from reading your beautiful book and my own lived experience and our conversation here today is that love is a gift, no matter how or when or where it comes, whether it's, you know, the romantical type of love or it's other kinds of love, it's a gift. And just like Chuck said, and just like you've expressed so beautifully, when we receive that gift, we don't give it back. We embrace it and we just glorify it and we share it, because in sharing those stories, giving beauty and hope to other people. Don't you feel the same way?
Absolutely. And I think, succinctly in your summarizing or finishing up our discussion this morning, and I could summarize it and share it with this in agreement. Gail always sung to me the lyric from the song Nature Boy sung by Nat King Cole. And the lyric is, one of the key lyrics from the song, the greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return. And that goes back to your point about giving and receiving.
Yes.
We can give love, but if we don't receive it, it becomes a one-way thing. So the greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return. And she would sing that. And it was one of her favorite lines, and certainly a very small, powerful lyric from a very, very wonderful song called Nature Boy, if you ever want to listen to it. Yeah,
I love that. And that is the perfect ending for our show. I want to say thank you, Larry, so much for being our leading man today. And a special thank you to all our listeners in the United States and across the world. And we'll be back again for another Women Lead Radio Show, Mondays at 9. a.m. Pacific time and Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific time. And friends, it has been my sincere pleasure to be your host today. And I hope that you felt the love and the joy. And I hope that you felt how beautiful it is to love someone at any age and at any stage of our life. And when love comes to you in any form, I hope that you grab it and embrace it and glorify it and share it. And so it's been my sincere pleasure to be your host today. I want to thank you for listening, and I want to tell you that I wish for you a lighthearted week coming forward and a lighthearted life in everything that you do. Find the joy, find the courage, find the love, and bless you.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.